Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
It's like Japanese cherry blossoms falling from the tree, cascading down till they hit the cold, cold Tokyo ground.
Or a pond.
You only live twice. Once when you're born, and once when you look death in the face. I think that's...
This is the music of a people who cultivate sand for a garden.
Not to simplify them in any
way. Listen, they just taste different.
This is straight from the movie.
This song is... I love this song.
It's a good one.
I really do like this song a lot. Oh, yeah. Oh, Nancy. These boots are made for singing James Bond tunes.
You know, she was very nervous when she was recording this. They had to do it a ton of different times and then patch all the vocal recordings together.
Really?
She was really nervous, apparently.
Yeah. I bet Pro Tools would have sped that up.
Yeah, yeah. Back then, it was just amateur tools. They used hammers and nails.
Really fucked up the tape machine every time they ran it through.
Yeah. Anyway.
Welcome to James Bonding, everybody. That song lets you know that we are at what many consider the final Sean Connery James Bond movie.
Yeah.
You Only Live Twice. I'm so glad we're here.
I know, huh? Yeah.
Our guest today...
Hi.
Is Vanessa Ramos. Vanessa, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
Vanessa is a very funny comedy writer. She writes with me over on the At Midnight program.
Mm-hmm.
She's a veteran of making fun of fat people on roasts.
I also make fun of gay people.
How about Japanese people?
People who don't have careers. Well, Joy, I haven't been on a Dekai roast. Well, did I just get racist or something? Okay.
The only Japanese person you could think of is George Takei still.
Well, I'm trying to think who we've had that's been on those things, but I only did Roseanne and James Franco, so it's been pretty white.
Yeah, it's about as white
and
as
Wayne Brady was on Roseanne, so I maintain my statement of it being pretty white.
Vanessa's super funny. She is on Twitter at that Ramos girl. Follow her and enjoy that. She's one of my favorite people. And my best friend in the writer's room.
Really? Are you guys the Sam and Diane?
Of our cheers?
It,
yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we're the Frasier and Diane.
Oh.
And she's going to leave me at the altar.
I understand.
That's a fourth season reference to Cheers.
Yeah.
Anybody? No. Okay.
I don't know where we are in our bar sitcom. Just a lot of time spent on Reddit.
Yeah. It is a lot of time spent on Reddit writing that program. So... Vanessa, we like to ask everybody what their sort of James Bond life experience is,
whether it's
any or none.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just going to bombard you guys with underwhelmings.
Go ahead.
So, I think I saw, like, GoldenEye, but I was also, like, 12, so in my mind it was kind of like, oh, that's the run-by fruiting guy from Mrs. Doubtfire.
His name was Stuart.
Yeah, like that's kind of where I came from with that. And then I feel like I saw, like, on HBO the end of one of the Daniel Craig ones.
Mm-hmm.
I know he likes to lead last name first in introductions.
Yes.
Yes. And I know he has a beverage of choice.
He
so that's
does.
Kind of...
Is it the Starbucks Valencia Orange Refresher that
which
I'm enjoying right
I
now?
How can you drink that,
beverage.
By the way? I had that once because they were like, oh, we're giving these out for free because it's our first time doing this. And it tastes like Mexican orange soda mixed with water and the sun.
Yeah.
Ooh,
isn't
wait,
it great?
You're drinking the sun?
He's
yeah.
drinking the
it's,
sun.
I will admit the first time I had it, I'm like, no. And I don't remember what the second circumstance was, but the second one is the one that gets you. And this is not, we're not endorsed by Starbucks in any
yet,
way, but
we're open to it.
Bit of a bad addiction to one of these things. I'm not quite.
To this particular beverage?
Yeah.
I drink iced venti Americanos like they are going out of style.
Well, James Bond used to drink Americanos, the booze, so at least...
Did he?
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to buzz market Starbucks, for God's sake.
Buzz market.
I was surprised because I hadn't really seen... Like, I've heard rumors of young Sean Connery and his handsomeness, but I hadn't really seen him. And I was like, oh, he looks very... He's very Clooney. I mean, not that he's hot in, like, the You're the Man Now Dog movie. Like, he's still hot in that.
In the You're the Man Now Dog movie.
The title.
I only know movies based on popular lines.
Based on popular lines from the trailer.
I don't know any names.
Have you ever seen Luke, I'm Your Father?
I have. That sounds familiar.
Is your favorite Sean Connery movie Welcome to the Rock?
Yeah. It helps, too, when there's, like, a film that also is, like, the title of, like, All Dogs Go to Heaven. I feel like that's said within the film. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what movie that was.
Well, I forgot that the You Only Live Twice was said in this movie, which it is by Donald Pleasance.
You Only Live Twice, Mr. Bond.
God damn it. That's some good choices you had going on. We'll get to that.
Do you find him to be... Because this is... Younger Sean Connery, but older Sean Connery James Bond. He's in his doughier period. Like, they shouldn't have put him in a turtleneck at the end, basically, because he's not unfit, but he's not classic Dr. No, fit, lean James Bond. Do you find him attractive, compelling? What do you think?
I do.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think it's the whole thing of, like, no, I think it's like he can hang out, you know, he can hang out, but it's like, oh, let me go kill a bunch of... ninjas for the other side? I don't even know.
Ninjas for the other side.
I just assume
it's a fair question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
When she pointed out the Clooney resemblance, I actually did notice that, particularly in this movie, because right now I feel like You Only Live Twice, Connery is the same age as Clooney now. This is what I feel like.
He's got those like dark, just willowy chestnut eyes.
Yeah, and the wrinkles in all the right places.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, when they like
treasure maps,
when they disguise him and they just give him like a George Lopez haircut and like thicker eyebrows, he was still attractive. It's the clothes.
Really? Even with the posture, I don't know why he had to talk about posture.
No, he had to hunch over because he's fucking
6'2". Feelings about George Lopez.
He's 6'2", so he would be, which is very funny to watch him tower over everybody he was walking around.
Yeah.
In Japan.
Yeah, even slumped.
Yeah.
Incredibly slumped, he's still
even crouched.
Yeah.
And a couple of those shots on the streets there, you can see all the people in the background just watching.
Which
is something that happens in Diamonds Are Forever, too. The crowd scenes.
Pointed that out, yeah.
But that sort of reminded me of why Connery wanted out.
Oh, yeah.
Because Japan was bonkers for him.
I wish that we were doing this for the live episode and that we could get full Japanese makeovers for the live show. Wouldn't that be amazing? And then both of us just slump our way out
there. We gotta figure that out. I gotta talk to Janet about that. Yeah, but I'm still down to do it.
So
I mean, we can do a live
commentary. Let's do it. I'll be the Chinese CIA guy, and you can be that equestrian henchwoman that is Jenny Flex.
I was just assuming I was going to be Grace Jones.
Oh, lucky. Lucky.
I already have the unitard.
Who doesn't?
The poster unitard.
Who in this room doesn't?
Okay, so... The Only Live Twice is the second to last of the thing. I got bummed out at the end of this movie, by the way, when it says he will return in Honor Majesty's Secret Service. And I was like, oh, what if?
Yeah.
What if he did return in Honor Majesty's Secret Service?
It's crazy because they, you know, he had another film contractually after this. So when you always hear the story about the producers, Cubby Broccoli and Saltzman, saying, oh, they never gave him any more money. They not only let him out of his last film, but then they offered him $1 million to do it, and he turned it down. So he did have his
He turned out $1 million for Honor Majesty?
I believe that's what I read somewhere in my mind.
$1 million, as you know, Vanessa, in 1967 is $8 billion today.
I think
that's how inflation works.
If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but again, just don't.
I'm just trying
lay
to keep
off
up
with the emails
with our.
I know. I'm just trying to, because when we started watching it, it was like the DVD menu. They just kind of showed the villain briefly, and I was like, "Well, I get this if I haven't seen the first Austin Powers." Oh.
and did it make any sense? Because it may not have anyway. Like, even if you're watching some of the other movies, they don't always make perfect sense.
Yeah.
The plots are pretty...
This?
You know, I think I was able to follow somewhat. I was surprised that there was a... I did sight a black guy early on, which I was not expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early on so in the control room at NASA.
That was exciting. I pointed that out to Matt immediately. And then it's like, okay, so we're starting off dead.
We have this thing where she points out black
guys
to me. That's
the whole story.
This plot's pretty straightforward. It's pretty decent.
It's a great plot.
I might argue with some of the, like, I don't know, we'll get to it.
I can argue with all of the technology that they're using.
Yeah, yeah, but
okay.
I think I've mentioned before that this is not one of my favorite Bond films. In fact, I did these series of little write-ups on these things, and this was very low ranked for me, but I watched it again and I liked it a lot more. It's amazing how it can change. It's human nature, everybody.
Guys, your tastes change as you get older and wiser and begin to realize that You Only Live Twice is better than you think it is.
I think it is. First, it's worse than you think it is. Then it's better than you think it is. And then I don't know what it is later.
Here's why this should be my favorite James Bond movie.
Okay.
Off the bat. Opens up on a Gemini space capsule.
These special effects for the time, pretty impressive, right?
Except for the volcano at the end.
Yeah, the optical eruption.
Terrible. I don't know why they couldn't find stock footage of a volcano.
I think they did, but they put two pieces together for some reason.
I don't understand it. Yeah, so it opens up on a Gemini capsule. So the viewer at home is like, oh, this is current space
and I'm
time.
A Gemini.
You are a Gemini. Yeah, huh? Oh, my Lord. Yeah. I'm a Leo.
It's all coming together.
There are five of us in this room.
All right. I thought it was amusing when Capcom told the Gemini capsule that it was go for fourth orbit. There's no stopping the orbit. You can't tell it to go ahead with a fourth orbit because it's moving at 25,000 miles an hour and it can't stop.
That's pretty
funny. Anyway, lots of stock NASA footage. I feel like all of their budget went there.
Uh-huh.
They were very accurate, I will say, with the gun that he has when he comes out of the space capsule. That gun is the same exact design that Ed White used on the first NASA EVA, which
this
is
guy.
The extra vehicular activity.
Wow.
When he goes out, and Ed White was using that. That's how they piloted themselves around with that little gun. They would shoot nozzle left and right, and then he could move like that.
It's gravity all over again.
It was gravity all over again. And when that thing got cut, that was tense. Yeah.
It is a great, gripping, clever opening.
Yeah.
I think this may be one of the first Bond films I've ever seen. I know Octopussy was my first in the theater, but I remember this at an early age on VHS or ABC or something, watching it with my dad, going, why is he Japanese?
You know. Dad, why is the Scottish man Japanese?
How come
I don't
so
know,
tall?
Son.
Why does he have a vitamin deficiency? Why does he bend like that?
So I know you noticed, like, all of the technology and all of, like, that stuff, but did you notice that one shot where, like, the main guy in the control room is just, like, they kind of zoom in on him, and then it seems like they're looking at different, like, let's see if we can find something bluer than his eyes. Like, they just went to, like, there was a shot of the sky.
I somehow missed that.
It was poetic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what
I do know what you're talking about. This is the first Bond film directed by Lewis Gilbert, who I hasten you all to YouTube to look up a clip of him, and he's the sweetest old man. He wears a button-up shirt that's buckled up all the way with no tie.
Oh.
And he's got glasses. And he talks, he's British, but he does that thing with his R's. So he talks like this. And when we were doing James Bond, it was very, very fun. And, he's so sweet. But he came right off of Alfie with Michael Caine.
Yeah.
And he was kind of, they always go for these artsy directors for Bond films. And you have to hand it to him for that. Except the three films that Lewis Gilbert have done have been complete repeats. So it's You Only Live Twice, Space Capsule gets captured by a big spaceship, ends up in a volcano lair.
Yeah.
Then we go to Moonraker, where Spy Who Loved Me, where a big submarine
gets captured
by a bigger ship, ends up in a big hangar. Army fighting army, ninjas fighting army.
Yeah.
Then Moonraker, where a space shuttle gets captured, stolen, and then it ends up on a space station with an army fighting army in space. They're the three same movies.
Yeah, they
and
are.
You could even say Tomorrow Never Dies is kind of similar to that, too.
Oh.
And we'll get into that next week.
I can't wait to do that
right,
one.
That's next week.
No, the world
is
not
I get those
enough.
Two mixed up, yeah. It
Shirley
is
Manson, classic.
It is. Mm-hmm.
I would like to point out that for no reason whatsoever in Capcom, there was a periscope.
What? Really?
Yes. If you look to the right, it's covered. It's got a red covering on it, but there's a periscope in there, which I'm going to say not needed.
The music in this opening scene, in the space thing,
yeah.
Come on.
How do you feel about it?
Oh, it's so good. James Barry.
Oh, it's your cousin, that. James Barry.
The problem with doing these Saturday morning recordings is that I just woke up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the... let's talk about...
I was actually able to follow the James Barry thing. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that guy, too.
James Barry. He, of course, meant John Barry. Before anybody tweets us.
And they will.
Yeah. Okay, so also a guy in it refers to Houston as Houston.
It feels very Houston. Superman 2.
Houston!
What is this Houston?
the planet Houston. I had a shirt that had Zod on the front.
Yeah.
And it had a big Earth with an oil rig coming off of it, and it said Planet Houston.
I'm into that.
I miss that shirt.
I've been trying to get my two buddies, Brandon and Jesse, to the three of us to go as those original Zod, Ursa, and Non.
Oh, yeah.
And my friend Brandon will play Ursa.
Jonah did a pretty good Zod on the Nerdist.
We had really?
We did a sketch for a supervillain supervillain conference called Zod Talks.
This beard coming in right now for me is just enough gray that I'm going to start to be able to pull off Zod.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I'm pro this beard. Okay, so we see this whole space situation happening, and then, of course, we see James Bond in bed with the Chinese girl. And how do we know she's Chinese, Matt? What does he say to her?
Chinese girls taste different. Chinese girls taste
because of
different.
The MSG.
That's true. That's absolutely true. It's
Chinese
a great reveal, though.
Different?
I'm trying to remember what it is.
Like, I like caviar just the same as I like Peking duck.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, that... I don't know.
What does that mean?
He somehow managed to make food racist.
I said that he is... James Bond's being racist in the most handsome way possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was kind of my first introduction to, like, him.
That's right.
And, I was embarrassed. I was like, oh.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, so if this was set present day, he'd be listening to house music, right? Like, yeah. What kind of dude is this?
Well...
He would be wearing... Like
modern day
jeans.
James Bond is very handsome.
Yeah, Jim Tan Laundry is a part of his day.
GTL. Okay, so here's this happens. James Bond. Then of course here's the thing. I'm gonna say it right now. If you're a spy, don't get on a Murphy bit.
Unless your intention is to fake your own death.
Oh, yes.
Double back in your face. Put it in the happy place.
Guys, we're following the plot along. We don't know that.
Oh, that's true. But it isn't true.
Okay. So he ends up inside the Murphy bed, and then a bunch of guys come in with machine guns and machine gun it, and then the Hong Kong police force comes, which at the time, Hong Kong under British rule, so that's why there's a bunch of white guys coming. He died doing what he loved.
It's a great
he died
Bond opening
on
sequence.
The job. Exactly
you're
how
coming off Thunderball that was kind of a little... problematic, right?
Problematic?
Yeah.
I'd call it the slowest moving piece of shit ever committed to film.
Seems a little harsh. So you've got this great space, epic space scene, tension, world issues going on, and then this just, what? Cliffhanger opening.
Yeah.
He's dead. Oh,
James
my
Bond
God.
Died.
Turn
what
off
are we
the movie
do?
Right there, and
you're going to want to turn off
over.
The movie, but you don't turn off the movie because why? What happens? The credit sequence. Keeps us going.
To our alternate songs portion. Where I've got two today. Did you know there are two alternate
now,
songs?
For... This is a new portion of the show where we present alternate versions of the theme song.
Okay.
Maybe recorded by different artists.
Yeah.
Different tunes.
I think I know where this is going.
And we talk about them.
This was the first version recorded, and I guess they just thought maybe it just didn't have enough pep. But there's something about it. It's got some definite... stereotypical pizzicato strings in it.
Oh, I love a good pizzicato.
This is Julie Rogers.
I prefer New York pizzicato to Chicago pizzicato.
Do you? I mean, you couldn't get more like a Western version of Asian. Boom, 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 boom. It sounds like the Siamese cat song from The Lady in the Dark.
Like this is what a cowboy wants to hear at a massage parlor.
I can confirm that.
This is what a cowboy wants to hear.
No more. it's a little low key. It's too. And each life it's too moseying or something. I don't know.
Is this Nancy?
No, this is Julie Rogers. And she's, even to this day, I think a little miffed that her version didn't get used.
Well, she shouldn't be, because this version is not as good as Nancy Sinatra's version.
Yeah. We'll let this play for a second, then I'll play the second one where they went in the other direction. So if this is kind of
thrash metal?
Well, at the time, if this is a little easy listening loungy for your grandma and grandpa, well, let's bring out your daughter's colored boyfriend and see what he'll bring in. All right. This is Lorraine Chandler, and we're going to get a little funky.
All right.
Here we go. Nice. Yeah, baby. Hey, daddy-o.
Oh, he's walking it on the guitar.
And then you get the Bond theme in there.
They weren't ready for this yet.
No.
Roll the shoulders back.
I just picture a lot of real low slung bikini bottoms.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what this is like? This is like if the Fifth Dimension recorded this song.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I don't know that this, I don't know that this was ever a serious contender for the film, and I'm not sure of the circumstances of why it was made.
Do you think that this is just like a negotiation ploy? Nancy, listen, we got this, and we will use it.
Should be a serious contender for Sharon Jones' next album. Holy shit.
Anyway, we can talk over it now. I'll turn it down.
No, you can just turn that. Why do we have to stop? Why do we end with the shittiest one? Let's go back to Nancy's.
You want
to
go back? I kind of like this one. So
you know what? Let's hear the Robbie Williams song.
Oh, no.
Is that a thing?
Well, it's the sample that he sampled the You Only Live Twice. What is it? I'm Loving Angels. Angels? Is that the one?
I don't know.
Which
but
one
he
did
uses
he sample?
That Bittersweet Symphony?
No. You're thinking of the Verve.
But there are Coldplay covers of You Only Live Twice, and Bjork did a famous cover as well with David Arnold.
Did Montel Jordan do one? Because I'm kind
he wrote it.
Okay.
Originally, yeah. Originally James Bond. It's great.
Well, I feel like I missed out on something.
Oh, yeah.
He's tall enough, I feel like.
What is that? I need to know that Robbie Williams. I need to hear it real quick. I'm gonna pull it up. So Roald Dahl.
Yeah, Roald Dahl wrote this. What's wrong, Matt?
For those at home, Matt Gourley is dancing as though he's on Laughing. I think it's... Is it... Does anyone know the name of the Robbie Williams song with samples? Our British listeners are going to be very angry at us because Robbie Williams, of course, is there, Bruce Springsteen.
I'm very angry at our British listeners for producing that artist from their country.
No, it's not Angels. It's the next album.
Mm-mm. Well, I'll try. Vanessa,
talk
let's
about
fill
Roald
some.
Roald Dahl for a second.
Well, Roald Dahl wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he wrote the screenplay to this, right?
Yeah.
And because Ian Fleming wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and wasn't there some kind of deal where they wanted to swap?
Yeah. They swapped.
I don't think I'd heard this before you said this.
It was like wife swapping. It was like, hey, I'll write your Chitty Chitty Bang Bang movie if you take this Asian racist thing I wrote. I don't want my name on it.
I say, old boy, I've finally come up with the proper level of Eastern racism. You know the Orientals, they've had it too easy.
Well, you see, I'm busy right now. I'm working on this. It's a chocolate factory, you see? And
could
what's going to happen is I'm going to have a fat German boy in it, and he's going to die.
Okay. I'm already smoking, but could I trouble you for a cigarette?
Yes, of course. Perhaps if you were to write this in, it could... very good. That's too many. That's too many, my dear boy.
Do you know that picture in the Guinness Book of World Records? That's me.
You look like you're eating a giant peach. Oh, I've got to go.
My cigarettes are a Gatling gun.
This is the one, right?
That's it. I'll have to say, if I had to listen to a Robbie Williams song, and I don't, this would be the one. All right, that's quite enough.
Yeah. Robbie Williams did it. I'm pretty sure he's hugely obsessed with James Bond, to my knowledge, and I think he is, and I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure he has every car.
Oh my God.
He has one of every Bond car.
Really?
Yeah.
That's Jay Leno levels of sin.
That's what I would do. If I had the money, are you kidding me?
Really?
I'd get this Toyota he drives around in this one.
I'd rebuild that volcano from this movie, the volcano. Seriously. I think I'd rather
What happened
have
to Matt after he got all that money?
I would.
He lives in a volcano.
I'd shave my head and wear a Nehru jacket and
you
have a
You can't go to
cat.
His house unless you're wearing yellow, white, or red.
All right, so we come out of... first of all, visually, I don't think the credit sequence is that great. A lot of lava, a lot of boring. I thought it was boring. This is Maurice Binder, right?
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it.
Oh, well.
Do you have any... do you take umbrage with my opinion?
I don't take umbrage, but I like it fine. I like that it's kind of really fits the movie tonally. Yeah. But I'm not going to go to the mattresses with you. I'll go with you on a mattress.
I love it. All right. Love it. Okay, so we... James, but we open up, come back, cliffhanger's still going, James Bond's funeral.
Yep.
We're at James Bond's funeral at sea, naval commander, James Bond murdered. That's the first thing we see is a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Everyone, presumably in Asia, sees it, which is why I'm very confused as to how no one knows it's James Bond when he shows up at the chemical company.
Seems odd.
Yeah. So I like this part. I like this part of the movie.
Yeah,
like, this is a very
clever
plan situation. James Bond's body goes down to the sea, then some scuba divers come and take it onto a submarine.
It's nice to see M and Moneypenny out in the field.
It's nice to see them in naval uniforms, actually. Yeah. I actually enjoyed that.
Moneypenny looks pretty good.
You know who does
good
not look good in a naval uniform? James Bond. He looked very chubby in that double-breasted suit.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it?
I still thought he looked great, but I was... I'm starting to question. I'm like, maybe you guys have higher standards for men than I do.
Yep. We have very high standards for our men.
This is why we don't date men, because our standard we're both gay, but our standards are so high that we can't.
Now,
what?
Here's something I'd like to say.
Yeah.
James Bond says ma'am.
We've been taken to task.
And he pronounces it ma'am.
Okay, just be careful, Matt, because I get the email.
I don't care. You're going to get more email right now. Everyone in England, listen to me.
Oh, boy.
I'm talking to you, Great Britain, my favorite country. Yes, I'm including America in that. England, you are my favorite country.
He's including America in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom.
As part of
the colonies. Listen, I grew up in a place called New England, okay? So I know a thing or two about England.
He's got the latest version.
I have
England.
The newest.
Yeah, the update.
I have English 0.1. You guys are still running 0.0 over there.
He's
it's
England Mavericks.
To upgrade. Yes. Yes. So I just want to say, as much as you all think you're saying ma'am.
I'm bailing on this, by the way.
In Skyfall, every one of those actors is saying mum. I would like to purchase a copy of the script, and I will do this before next week is over, and I will read it. And if it says mum in the script, you all owe me $50.
And what if it
says
ma'am?
Which I will take in British pound sterling.
What if it says ma'am?
Sorry, everybody.
Wow, pretty good deal for you.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
I will have to say, my gut is with you, Matt, but I
Thank
don't
you.
Profess to know because I don't... I'm not as steeped in the English culture as
English people who speak
because
the language.
Also we should redact something from last week.
Oh, I love redactions.
Kiss of life is an English expression for CPR, and that's what that references to.
Oh,
and
thank
I've been
God.
Told. Here's the problem.
Thank God.
Good fact checking, but 83 emails saying that. So
no.
Well, yeah, I'm exaggerating. Twitter, email, some skywriting.
They sent over
just,
plates.
There is. We're not journalists, and we're trying our best. But at the same time, there's a fact police out there that's really giving me some hard time.
Fact police, be nicer about your facts.
Yeah.
We're just two comedians who like James Bond.
Yeah, not journalists.
We're not journalists. No.
We respect the craft of journalism, and if we were doing journalism, we would do our due diligence.
And
but
with,
we're just
and with
the
Vanessa
breeze.
Here, we're three comedians who. Kind of have seen James Bond once or twice.
Yeah.
I know the name.
But let's talk about it. I like submarine mobile MI6.
Yeah,
I like
it a lot. Yeah.
I like The Office. I like the that was great opening up on the hat onto the thing. Mm. That was a beautiful thing. Mm. I enjoyed it a lot. I love M.
He's the best.
I love him so much.
Now, I've brought this up on before, but all stories of him are that between takes, he'll, you know, whenever they're breaking whatever and there's a piano around, he will just go to the piano and entertain everybody. He was just a great bon vivant. Wouldn't you love to be in the room with that?
Do you think Ray Fiennes is going to do that? I don't think so.
He might. He might. I have a bit of a man crush on Ray Fiennes.
I have a bit of a man crush on anyone who can wear pants that high.
Oh, and stand in that posture.
God damn. You love posture.
I do, because I think I don't have great posture.
Here's the three things Matt looks for in a movie. Posture.
Yeah.
Lack of toupees.
Mm-hmm.
And good CGI.
Yeah, that's true. Not if lack any of toupees, that, just good
that,
toupees.
If any of that doesn't happen, he gets angry about it.
You know what I have to say had a really good wig in it?
What?
Hunger Games.
Whose wig?
Woody Harrelson's. Everybody knows that he's bald, but his hair hangs naturally. It's not stiff. It's like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. It's a good wig.
It's the true eighth wonder of the world is Woody Harrelson's wig from The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. He has to go to Japan now because they've tracked the signal to Japan. America looks stupid as per usual. They're going to just go guns a-blazing, which, honestly, I get it. That's what I know. I understand. That's what we're like. Least favorite line in this movie? It came right here for me.
At what scene are we in?
We are in when James has gotten his mission and he's headed out the door. He's tossed a instant Japanese.
Oh, I took Orientals.
You forget I took a first in Oriental languages at Oxford.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that. I hated that. Well, because I hated too when she's like gonna throws him the book and it's like instant Chinese, like it's a microwavable dish.
Like the hardest language to learn for a Westerner.
And it's
ever.
Just like we got it down to a book. It's this big. Put it in your pocket just in case.
It fits in your hat.
What are some of my common phrases? Where is the bathroom? And how? Excuse me, sir. Are you harboring any nuclear missiles? Space threats.
I wrote down Yay Japan with an exclamation point.
Huh.
I just like Japan, I think. So now we see a bunch of ladies following them around with, I don't know, I'll say microphones the size of the ones we're talking into right now in their purses.
Yeah.
James has to go to Budokan. I'm assuming it's Budokan.
Well, this is something Bond movies are famous for. Whatever's popular at a time or in a place, they will put it in. So, of course, they're like, Japan, what do you think of? Ninjas and sumo wrestlers.
Do you know what's interesting? I never felt bored watching the sumo wrestling. I never felt bored watching even the wedding ceremony.
Hmm.
I found it all interesting.
It loses me a little in the middle of this movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I just found their culture interesting.
Oh, I do too.
Japan, you are number two. America, bring it up the rear.
Who's number one?
England.
Oh.
No. Oh, you know what? Canada.
Yeah.
I'm going to slide that in. Japan, you're number three.
They're not in England ever in this movie, are they? It's only...
Correct. Well, Pinewood Studios.
Right, but still.
Yeah, they never are in England. Have you ever seen the map, the James Bond map?
I don't think so.
There's a map that, like, has... it maps out with the Indiana Jones-style lines each movie.
Oh, cool. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because Australia, Canada, and South Africa are the only major countries that Bond hasn't been to.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's at the sumo match, the code word... His code words are
I love you.
Yeah. I love you. That was my Connery.
That was very good. So then we see the Toyota. Are you familiar with the story behind this Toyota?
No, are you?
Yes. And I bored Vanessa with it, and I will now bore
Wait,
you
can
with
I
it.
Hear Vanessa's telling of it first just to see if it.
She's probably got it.
Yeah. She already doesn't remember.
I don't even know. Oh, he was too tall. He was too tall for the car, so they had to...
They made it a convertible,
right? Exactly.
Which it wasn't.
Right.
That's right. I did hear that. Yeah.
Good
work, everybody.
Have you ever seen the Top Gear special on the Bond cars?
No, you keep going on about this.
You need to watch
it. Send it to me.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you.
But like as an Amazon gift, with like gift wrapped, preferably around Christmas.
Done and done.
Really?
Yeah, but I'll probably get it to you like this week.
Okay, what do you want?
Is there something I haven't seen that you need me to see? We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. But yeah, that Toyota, very rare. That car is very rare.
What is the, what model is it?
I feel like it's a GT. It's a Toyota Toyota Camry.
It's a Corolla. He's driving to nursing school.
It's a Tundra. This is a mid-sized pickup truck.
It's a 2000 GT.
Oh, we were joking, and here's this great thing that I don't really appreciate.
Now, I've never seen one.
If you were going to get all the Bond cars, you'd get this
You'd
one.
Have to get it.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're talking just any car featured in the Bond movies or just the ones he...
The ones he drove or, I mean, this one's so iconic, yeah. I feel like, for this movie. It's really the one for this movie, and that's the one I would get. I don't know if I'd buy the Citroen from... Bye!
Bye, Katie.
Katie, she'll be Money back. Penny's just... going to check on the water heater. The Bond model, used in You Only Live Twice. Now, this car is very rare, and the last one sold on the open market went for $1.15
million. Jeez.
For a Toyota.
You could build a volcano set for cheaper than that at the time.
A 67 2000 GT. I have been on eBay many times.
Really?
I have a save search for this car.
What?
I always look for it. There it is with the hardtop version.
I think I had the Hot Wheels version of that.
You probably did. But this is it's such a rare car that I don't know if I'll ever own one. I'm just letting everyone know.
I think you might.
I mean, I might disappoint the world.
Is that the first car you'd get, given that much money or given a deal, or would you rather?
If I had $1.15 million, yeah. No, I'd buy a DBS, probably.
Oh, that's
the Casino Royale Bond car.
Yeah, sure, why not? Oh, the new.
The newer one, yeah, because that I could probably get for like $1.25, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's right off these.
Seems kind of cheap.
Yeah.
$1.25. I mean, I've got that on. See what, go get them right now.
This movie... The pacing of this movie, James Bond's given a specific task, which is what I genuinely like about this movie. This is very different from the last few James Bond movies we've watched.
And many
Goldfinger, he's way behind on everything. He's actually... Goldfinger, he's just almost superfluous to the plot.
Yeah.
Okay?
He's needed in this movie.
He is necessary
and
doing a good job in this movie. Die Another Day, the piece of shit we just sat through. James Bond doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know that the guy... It's a whole mess, and he's gone rogue and bullshit, blah, 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 blah. Skyfall, more of the same bullshit. He decides to disappear for a while. This one, though, he's handed a document and told to do something.
Matt is shaking.
I just need him to do stuff.
I apologize, Vanessa, for this intensity.
I like this movie a lot. I really do.
Were you always a big fan of this, or did you just like it a lot more on the rewatch?
I liked it a lot more on the rewatch.
I liked it a lot more on the rewatch. I can't say it.
I've been more of a fan of it than you have. We've discussed that.
Yeah.
But I really can't. It came around.
Here's my issue with this movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not enough tits.
No, you just lech. You're just a lech. You're just a fresh man, and you're just a real problem with society. Here's my problem.
Yeah.
Not enough vagina. No, just kidding.
He's not wrong.
The good thing about it is it really firmly establishes the James Bond formula, but. To the extreme. So it becomes the cartoony villain in the volcano lair, and now every Bond movie follows this, and I even think this movie goes a little too far.
You're saying a hollowed out volcano lair is going a little too far?
I am. Also, it's probably an active volcano. It's just not a smart choice.
Yeah. Right. It isn't. Because when he blows the detonation, the volcano becomes very active.
Yeah, see,
I gotta be honest. I thought, like, the volcano, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's what... Like, I thought streamers were gonna come out. It was just, like, pretty... I don't know. It's pretty underwhelming as far as volcanoes go.
Yeah. It's just a little bit much for me because it's what Moonraker does, but at the time. And I've said this before, like, this is the pendulum swing to the extreme side. You Only Live Twice, Moonraker, and Die Another Day when they all go
and they reset.
Too far. Yeah. So you need one with the other, but this one goes a little too far for me. I'm just saying.
Well, I think we can agree. We meet one of the greatest Bond allies of all time.
Tiger Tanaka.
Tiger Tanaka.
She's very sexyful.
My friends call me Tiger.
Oh, yeah. So are we going to talk about how, like...
Oh, let's talk.
Is that, like, a real thing? Like, a custom? Because I don't know. I was telling Matt. I'm like, did you notice it took, like... four women to make what they were doing not seem gay. Like, it was just like...
And even then... Yeah,
my welcome guest, please, you know, undress and bathe next to me.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, at some point, Matt and I are going to be in that same situation.
Yeah.
We'll talk more so.
I have been. At some point, we have been. That is... And I think they put them in separate little pools. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they were.
But you know that's probably not even how it is. Even that was like...
Well, judging from most of the Japanese porn I watch...
Yeah.
It's the...
Same
it's
pool.
Not, it's the same pool.
They put a little pool divider, like, leave room for the Holy Spirit.
Also, everybody's genitals in Japan? Pixelated.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I've never seen a pornography film.
Keep telling yourself that. So I really love... I love Tanaka. And then...
Wait, have we talked about Henderson yet? We're not there yet.
Oh, sorry. We're not at Henderson yet because we've just met Tanaka.
Okay, Tiger Tanaka. Dubbed, heavily dubbed.
Yes.
And then you hear one line where he's not dubbed and he has a totally different voice when he speaks Japanese. So he goes from,
Bon-san, Mr. Bon.
It's the weirdest little moment.
Tanaka has his own train. Which is
naturally
awesome.
Yeah, I do love this guy though.
He's also,
what's not to love?
Come on!
There was an entire you remember those in Donkey Kong, those springs jumping around. That's what just happened to Matt's Starbucks cup. That was that analogy I just gave you was more unwieldy than what just happened with the cup.
I dropped the cup, but I tried to save it, and then I tried to throw it out and be cool, and it didn't work out. Anyway, but what I here's
this
what I like
be a video
about this.
Podcast.
This should be eventually someday. What I did like about this was that the photos and stuff that he has. You know what? We kind of skipped Henderson. I'm already talking about Tanaka.
I have some things to say about Henderson.
All right, we're gonna talk about Henderson right now. The first person James Bond goes to meet is Blofeld. From Diamonds Are Forever.
Yes, so this guy that he meets with the one leg that gets stabbed through the paper wall later plays the same villain role.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's so strange.
I didn't remember the first guy. Henderson, I didn't remember his name, so I just referred to him as the Priceline Negotiator. Because he kind of like gave that vibe.
Yeah, he also had the hair.
And no one has ever been more English than this man has. Just that.
Everything is very sort of this.
They put in a little joke there. Did you notice it? The martini joke?
Yeah, shaken, not stirred.
And he says...
stirred, not shaken, correct?
And Bond kind of looks at him like that, and it's them having a joke at their own expense.
Yeah.
God, what good times we're all having. Everybody.
But here's what I love. I need to know what the other things are he gets from the doorman at the Russian embassy.
What?
Because Bond drinks it and goes, oh, Russian vodka. And then he goes, I get it from the doorman of the Russian embassy, among other things. Like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Tail.
Yeah, right?
Russian tail, for sure.
No, I think he's fucking the doorman. Mm.
I mean, he could if he wanted to. I don't think they'd hide that.
I would just like to speak to the good people of Japan, my third favorite country. Guys, maybe don't use paper for your walls.
Yeah.
I feel like you get stabbed through them too easily.
Also, when he goes to the what's the name of the chemical company, Osada or what, I can't remember.
Osaka?
No.
All right.
Anyway, it's this high security installation. I mean, he has a fight with a guard in there, right?
Yeah.
But when he leaves that room, that high security room, one of the walls is just still made of paper.
Well, if they go in, we'll see that it's ripped.
But that's a good fight in there.
That is a really good fight because, I'll tell you why. He uses a couch as a weapon.
It feels very found object. Like, what would you do in that circumstance?
I also like that he kills the guy and then shoves him into the wet bar and then is revolted by Siamese vodka.
Yeah.
He goes, Siamese vodka.
I love later when he drinks sake and... Just what a prick. Sometimes James Bond is a prick.
98.4 degrees.
Yeah, old thermometer tongue James Bond that can just tell instantly the temperature.
This is a tenth of a degree less than my internal body temperature.
This is how disappointing I am as a human. When he said that, I immediately was like, oh, yeah, he's John Taffer now. He knows exactly what. This is like bar rescue. He knows what temperature that should be served at.
Yeah, Bond is never at his best when doing.
Your keg's not going to yield a full barrel.
That line had the tone that some of the emails I get about the word ma'am and mum have.
Well, I just threw down the gauntlet.
Yeah, I'm in for it.
She is very sexy full.
Also, I would like to say that the shoe sound effect guy on this movie must have gotten paid double time, because there is a lot of shoe sounds. That whole scene where he's running through to where he eventually meets Tanaka.
Yeah. That's right. It's like, because there's not much music.
No music.
Yeah.
It's just shoes.
Well, it's John Barry. He was just doing a tap dance score.
Shoes. Okay, so then we're on the train. And this train is really like Spy Central. This train's awesome. Because James is like, I found this. Can you blow it up? And then they get to sit down and look at it on a screen, and then there's Sony monitors everywhere. And then he's like, I need to know the location of this ship for the last blah, 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 blah. And they don't even have the internet, but they still manage.
Yeah.
Because the Japanese are an industrious people.
Yeah.
What was that? I don't know what that was. Oh, he says, I like the plumbing, which is a reference to, I believe, a vagina.
Yeah, usually is.
So Tanaka, this is when Tanaka takes him back for the lady bath.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, here you, like, when we've talked about, like, the Goldfinger episode.
Yeah.
When we were dealing with a certain chauvinism of its time. This is not only a chauvinism of its time, but of its place.
Of its culture.
But also a sort of racism in how simplistic it's handled in this film. I don't know. I can't really speak to what bathhouses were like in Japan in the 60s, or can I? That's how I was conceived. I don't know. I mean, it seems a little simplistic, but also a little fun. You can't take it too seriously. I don't know.
I want that poster. The poster of him with all the bath girls around him.
The picture.
The You Only Live Twice poster.
Oh, have you seen the little painting I have of that?
Oh, that's right. You do have a little painting of that.
I'm going to bring it up.
Yeah,
does it say in Japan men come first?
Oh, that's right. Why did I not write that down?
Why? Everyone's just okay with that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, in Japan, it's okay to be an asshole.
I have this little, like, joke print of that. It's on my Instagram somewhere, but it also has, like, so it's Bond with all these bathing Japanese scantily clad women, mm-hmm. and then there's one of those, like, ice monkeys that you always see in that video where they're chilling in the water.
James now, they find out who owns that ship that the person was killed for that took the picture of. And then they have to, James is like, oh, it's this chemical company. I will go to, I'll go to this chemical company where I happened to kill a guy here last night for a meeting. And this is where he meets the guy with the fakest gray hair I've seen in a movie in a very long time.
Oh, the really tan guy?
This is the older Japanese guy who runs the company.
Fake gray hair.
It looks like gray hair.
Yeah,
it
I didn't have
dyed.
A problem with the hair, but he looked a little more tan than everyone else.
I can't speak to the tan, but I can speak to that's real gray hair.
Are you sure?
I have Wigdar.
Wigdar?
Yeah.
Okay, so then
I have Didar too.
James Bond sits down in an X-ray chair, which is something most people in Spectre have, an X-ray chair,
mm-hmm.
where the X-ray comes up of the Walther PPK. Then they have to escape.
This is the little painting I have.
So James Bond, they find out he's got the gun. They think, oh shit, maybe it's James Bond, and
yeah, I love how he's the only spy to carry a Walther PPK.
The only one on the planet, which I disagree with. Also, again, he has to get away, and he gets away, and who comes by again in the same Toyota in the same place is what's her face?
Aki
comes by, saves him. They have to do the usual
Tokyo Drift.
The usual. Not up drifting. The usual protocol, and that protocol is to send a helicopter that can pick up a car with a magnet and drop it in the ocean.
And that has a video camera James Bond can watch it. Who's filming the helicopter that he can get this live feed?
God.
Oh, that makes sense.
I feel like they have interns because they're pretty pretty organized over there.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Where is the camera shot on the helicopter?
But that was such a given back then. It wasn't even like they were asking you to, oh, don't worry about it. It was more like people are like, I don't know how cameras work in the 60s.
He was probably just watching a VHS copy of You Only Live Twice. Just like Spaceballs.
An old TV broadcast link in his...
So then he tells Tanaka through the car to bring little Nelly and make sure her father comes.
Yeah.
And guess who her father is?
Q.
Yeah.
Major Boothroyd.
How'd you feel about little Nelly?
Well, here's my thing. Because remember, I feel like I enjoyed it, but it was the type of thing of you have to be that handsome to operate that vehicle. Like you can't
with that little helmet with the camera.
You can't be Rick Moranis from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids going like, look what I made.
Well, you can be.
No, you can't. It's not acceptable. But like that was my, I was like, okay. And I was fine with little Nelly, but it was when he started doing the like, you know, men made advances at her and she, or that's when I was like, okay, calm down. Yeah.
The, here's what I love about little Nelly. It's so tiny.
Mm-hmm. Well, a little.
But it's also the loudest helicopter I've ever heard in my life.
Am I wrong?
It's tiny gas engine.
Is he wearing powder blue in this again? Or is it white? I can't remember. They got this thing with powder
like it's
blue.
Tan.
Is it?
I feel like it's a tan outfit.
Like yeah.
Look that up. Powder blue little Nelly.
Well, and everybody looked super calm for what the situation was. There was a dude that was dressed like an interpretive dancer with like the all black and sunglasses.
All those guys,
on.
Yeah.
Every one of them looked like Tom Petty was in Empire Strikes Back. That's what they all looked like.
They
with those sunglasses,
like,
they all looked like
they were
Tom
all
Petty.
Very emo, like, I gotta take this guy out again.
Imperial Tom Petty's just chasing him down in their TIE fighters. Then he, James Bond proceeds to dump every weapon little Nelly has onto these...
Irresponsibly.
Yeah. No reason. I feel like he could have taken out everybody like with those air mines.
Yeah.
Like maybe one of them instead of dropping 12 of them on the one helicopter.
Right.
And then launching all 6 missiles at once.
Oh, and did anybody else notice like it feels like they went to all this like high tech like little Nelly... But then, like, the final touch was a label maker. Like, above all the buttons, it was, like, the cheapest. Like, oh, yeah, they sell those at Staples. Yeah. You just put the... They didn't really spring for... Like, I get it. You want them to know what's what, but that'll fall off.
It's not form over function.
No.
Yeah, at all. Although they did give it some pinstripes, I think.
This is the point in the movie where we find out what the plan is. The plan is to start a war between Russia and England, and
he will be left to rule, essentially.
Yeah.
He says that, yeah.
Okay. So now we come into a cliche in action movies and things that reference it that really is at the pinnacle here, and that is ninjas training.
Hmm. Oh, I love Ninja Camp.
Ninja Camp.
Yeah.
I wrote down, we see so many ninjas, it ain't even funny. That's what I wrote down. Followed by James Goes Native.
Huh. Is this the first movie with like a Western... ninja,
the introduction of Western ninjas.
Well, just
or the
like,
ninjas to the Western
society. As a cool kind of thing, because I know in the 70s the first version of Killer Elite, that movie, the Peckinpah movie, there's a big ninja fight at the end, which you don't expect in a Sam Peckinpah movie, but they all just get killed willy-nilly like these guys do in this movie. And I think it was the 80s before ninjas kind of became mythical, like you couldn't kill a ninja
because
they were dying left and right in this thing.
They sure were. They came up against another force of ninjas.
Yeah, they
and
were
if
like,
you know anything, the only thing I can kill a ninja is a ninja.
Oh, wait, what other force of ninjas?
What's up? What other, what do you mean?
Those guards in Blofeld's lair weren't ninjas.
I decided they were ninjas.
No, they were factory workers.
They were ninjas.
Did
you
see
their
little
costumes?
They had to have had ninja training. No, I
feel like they had ninja
the
training.
Really? They were just shooting machine guns.
Listen, that's you don't hire someone to work in a volcano if they don't have ninja training.
I suppose that's true.
I also like that their super sneaky ninja outfit of choice is gray sweats. So this is the scene where James Bond has to take a wife.
Wait, where are they already?
A pig-nosed
wife. We skipped over the awesome rooftop one-shot helicopter shot.
Oh, where we see the most epic James Bond fight ever.
I think that's pretty awesome.
That doesn't ever. We don't see the rest of it. Like,
it ends
just
in a joke.
He just jumps.
No, because he gets clubbed. He gets karate chopped over the shoulder and captured. And then this is when we meet Helga Brandt. We're skipping a part.
Oh, yeah, we are skipping.
We are skipping this whole part. I have to take my hat off to Lewis Gilbert here, who does this amazing one-take helicopter shot of a huge choreographed roof fight, and there's falls off the thing. Bond goes through all of that only to get hit over the head and still get captured by, like, a one guy or something like that. It's kind of got a little punch to it.
But did you notice that that one gentleman, one dock worker, had on cut-off shorts and his shirt was tied up around his chest?
Oh, yeah.
No, but you sure did.
He had a crop top on.
Yeah.
I noticed that as well.
That was interesting.
That's hilarious.
That was very interesting. And
he
they
was
weren't
just there to see that handsome guy he's heard so much about.
They were just, but they were cutoffs, like, they were the kind of cutoffs where you can see the pockets.
Oh.
Like,
oh.
That's how short they were.
I love those.
You see the
where actually
through.
You get more coverage from the pockets hanging down than the shorts.
Yeah, it was like that short.
Little loin pockets.
You
meet Helga Brandt soon after. Who
well,
are they just trying
you don't
to do
meet
a,
her. You meet her earlier in the office.
Right. But are they trying to do a... It seems like she's a second-rate Fiona Volpe to me from Thunderball. This is a similar character.
Oh, why not try to repeat that?
Yeah, but it's just a little inferior. And then one thing I noticed, too, is she has a wedding ring on. I want to know who she's married to.
I assume she was married to gray hair.
Really?
That's what I assumed.
I wonder. That's interesting.
That's what I assumed. I saw the ring. You got to check for that ring. We're at that age now, Matt. You got to be like, oh.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That Bond girl is married. Yeah, so she threatens to cut his skin off, and then
Yeah, why didn't, like, a scalpel was her weapon of choice, and the whole thing too. It's like it's such a lame weapon that she had to explain what it was.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
Be like,
exactly.
Oh, this may look like a lesser letter opener.
But then what happens is she decides to put it in his pocket and fuck him, right? Right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. To which I say. Why
fuck him, or why put it in his pocket?
Why is she fucking him?
Because it's a James Bond movie and he's irresistible.
It's just timing wise, it doesn't make sense for me. It doesn't make sense for me as a logical human being.
Her whole storyline is defies logic, because if she really wants to kill him, why on earth put him in a plane and then put a smoke bomb in the plane and then try to tie him down with a weird little shelf table? It has to be the most uncircuitous route to kill someone in a James Bond movie ever, is it?
Also, I think they should have, like, maybe not used balsa wood as the thing that holds it in.
Here's what I got from that, is that she knew she was going to kill him, so she wanted to be his last. Is the only thing that made sense to me, just from a
latest standpoint.
She's
from a
black
standpoint.
Widow.
Yeah.
She's the Red Widow.
You're very proud of yourself right now. I know it.
You don't even have to look over here. I'm going to unbutton my shirt one time.
James Bond, he, of course, we've seen James many times have to pilot a plane that's falling. We never even talked about the fact that in Die Another Day, he cold starts a helicopter in the air.
Yeah, I have always had a problem with Bond just can fly anything and everything. It feels too much to me. I didn't like it in Quantum of Solace. Solace. Write an email.
You don't even try anymore.
Quantum of Solace.
Write it. Just write an email. Just write it. So James Bond lands this plane pretty hard, and then
he lands a plane pretty hard,
and then runs.
Yeah,
and then runs away, and then the plane blows up as though it was filled with gasoline.
Yeah, this is the part of the movie that starts to lose me. It just feels like, okay, just fantastic little thing after another.
Fantastic little thing after another. You're bored by everything.
I mean, fantastical.
Oh, great. Two teams of ninjas fighting each other in a volcano.
Well, it does lose its heart a little bit when you go for all flash, because the mix of this being Connery's last film and he's not that into it, it doesn't hold me that well. Do you know what I'm saying?
I disagree with you entirely.
You don't feel like he's a little sleepy and bored in this movie?
I think America
and a little angry
is sleepy and bored by this movie. I don't know if I see any sort of anger in his.
No, I didn't say angry.
I see in his performance? I see relief.
What?
I see relief.
Matt.
I think he knows he's on his way out. and I see a little relief in his performance. Something I didn't notice previously.
Yeah.
I see sort of a... just a man who's ready to walk out the door.
Yeah.
He's got senioritis throughout this movie.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't compel me.
I liked it.
I want my Bond to be emotionally detached, but because he's been burned, not because he's tired.
I can't even look at him right now. I can't even.
Well, I can't look at you either. Can you hear my voice change? Because I'm turning.
I'm going to go.
Vanessa, just let us work this out. I think he...
He's holding his mic in a really...
Hello?
preponderance.
It's a dick. no, but I think I really liked Connery in this movie. Hmm. I found Connery to look more bored in Thunderball. But I also could have been projecting.
No, I think they're about hand in hand for me.
By how bored I was watching
He's in a whole different world in Diamonds Are Forever, but so is that movie, so it works for me. But this one is still trying to be a legit Bond movie. Sorry.
That's a Kanye West song. They had conflict diamonds. Don't lie to me, Jacob. That's from the remix featuring Jay-Z. Anyway.
Do you think he was like, I got to sample that song because I love that song, or he's just Googling songs about diamonds?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he's a Google guy.
I think it's B.
He reverse engineers. Yeah.
No way Kanye's banging it. okay. Now is the farcical plan in which James Bond must take a bride.
Is Aki dead at this point? Because that's a pretty awesome little thing. Not that she dies, but...
Aki doesn't
die.
Yeah, the poison down the thread.
Aki dies from the poison down the thread.
Yeah, right. And which is later stolen for Gross Point Blank. Directly.
Homaged. John Cusack doesn't steal.
Well, he didn't write it.
He produced it.
What is with us today?
I don't know.
This is really strange.
We're really contentious.
Yeah, this is really... We're in a huge fight.
Guys, the podcast is over. We're done.
Yeah.
This is the last episode.
Mild fight ever.
We disagreed on what John Cusack had to do with the script for Gross Point Blank.
But join us for our Gross Point Blank podcast. We're starting next week.
Okay, so... This whole sequence, I find superfluous.
Yeah, as someone who's not a huge Bond fan, did this seem like, wow, I wouldn't have thought this was in a Bond movie. Does it feel a little slow?
The whole poison part? Or which
no, just the whole turning
the
Japanese,
whole plan
getting
of
married.
Like, hey, you need to take a bride because this village won't accept you unless you take a bride.
No, it felt very like... I mean, just from a woman's standpoint, it felt very like, well, here's the montage where we give her a makeover and she goes to a fancy store. They're like, we'll do this because this is fun, and then we'll get back to what's actually happening in the movie.
So for you, this is
minus the poison thing. That was interesting.
Yeah.
This is the Devil Wears Prada moment for you.
Yeah.
Where Anne Hathaway finally puts her shit
comes
together.
Comes into her own.
Yeah.
You're looking at me like I should, like, you have fire in your eyes, like you've watched this movie a bunch of times.
Which one?
Devil Wears Prada.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, but the whole, like, okay, so we're going to give him, like, it seemed like the makeover, I don't know, it's weird, because it almost is reminiscent, too, of, like, that scene from Almost Famous where they're like, De Flower, because it's just a bunch of giggling women, like, putting stuff on his face. That was not the right comparison, but I also...
I liked it. No, it's a bunch of giggling women.
So, yeah.
They have to shave his chest,
too. It didn't add anything for me. Well, and plus, he's like a foot taller than everyone else, so it's like...
And then he has
to crouch.
It's
not like they're not going
to
notice. But again, they didn't notice he was not dead, even though it was in every newspaper everywhere.
What I decided was they can't tell English people apart the same way my uncle can't tell Asian people apart.
When he's first Japanese and he's walking up to the wedding or to go fishing, and he passes a couple of the Japanese villagers. They're looking at him like, what the fuck is that?
Who's
the villagers?
Who,
like,
is that
not
monster?
Fooling anybody.
Who is that monster?
Kaiju!
But I think that they were looking at him, send out the Jaeger, sorry. I think they were looking at him, I think... The intention was that they were looking at him as who's the stranger.
Who's this new very Japanese fellow? Who is this?
Who's this new gentleman from the mainland?
Oh, I've never seen anyone more Japanese than this. Who is he? How have
Doesn't
I not
he
noticed
just,
him before?
Like, I just feel like he's never seen a fork. I like when he wants to fuck and then decides he's not going to need the oysters.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so his wife's name is never spoken in the movie, but her name
Pig
is...
Oh, Pigface?
I know, that's horrible. Her name is Kissy Suzuki. And originally, the actress that played Aki and the actress that played Kissy Suzuki had the opposite parts. And the Kissy Suzuki girl... The Aki girl could speak English better. And so they switched the roles because she had more lines. And I think they were going to send the Kissy Suzuki girl home, and she was so dishonored,
she was going to kill herself.
She threatened to kill herself, and they kept her on.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, they wrote in the pig face line just to make her feel better about herself.
What I love about that is that, like, from everything I'm picking up from you guys, it's like, yeah, Connery didn't want to fucking be there. He was over it, and she's like, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
I don't get to be in
She
this
wanted
film.
So desperately to be in the film.
Yeah.
Also, I don't understand whether, like, all right. The role of the wife, like
Kissy
Suzuki.
Yeah.
I am confused as to why she's not into just like fucking getting down.
Because
with James Bond.
I think because in this view of the world, she's an honorable Japanese.
Yeah, but now she's married and she can do it. She can make
shit
happen.
Yeah, but she's only married for country. She's not married for honor, right?
What better reason is there to get married? For my third favorite country.
I don't know. If I'm not mistaken, Kissy Suzuki is from the novel. Otherwise, the novel is completely different. This is the novel where he kills Blofeld. Blofeld has a castle in Japan full of a garden full of poisonous plants where he kills people in this garden. And he's there with Irma Bunt is the one from Honor, Majesty, Secret Service, right? Mm-hmm. And so Bond goes and kills both of them as revenge for his wife. And his wife is killed by Blofeld. In
the next movie, James Bond gets married again.
Again?
He just got married in this one.
Yeah, but not a real marriage.
That's right. A real marriage!
Well,
it's not because they...
In the eyes of the Lord Japan, they're married.
They say something about it, don't they? I can't remember. But also, he ends up with amnesia at the end of the novel, and... I can't remember if it's Kissy or whatever, but she basically lies to him and tries to keep him there as her husband. And I want to say, like, she has a child or something.
I feel like there's a...
This is the
Star
last
Trek
Fleming
episode.
Book.
This is the Star Trek episode.
It's the last... I should know better. I apologize to you and yours this holiday season. This is coming out at Christmas, right?
Yeah, we're dropping it December 25th.
All right.
Hope that's a Tuesday.
Boy, I just threw out a bunch of spurious information.
Well, here's... Okay,
don't
so
email.
Here's
don't
what
email.
Happens.
Don't email.
James is like, well, this bitch ain't gonna fuck me, so I'm gonna go find my other bitch.
Hockey.
Which he does.
Yeah.
And he does it. He makes it happen. But then she dies.
And so not only does he bed her, but he rolls over at the split second. Or she does.
He rolls over.
Like he's such a good spy. He has a sleep instinct to avoid poison threat.
Yeah. Well, and he was twitching a bit. Like, I don't know. As someone who's never seen it, like, I was like, oh, I thought he was going to wake up.
Uh-huh.
But then it's like, oh, of course. And then I did see that coming. But it seemed even when she rolled over, it was kind of like she's rolling over and stretching out her neck.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
there wasn't
yes.
anything supernatural about that.
You don't like your Bond to dodge death by chance. You want him to do it by skill.
Yeah.
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 You don't want him to be a restless
was
sleeper.
Was the dude
that's the
up top a ninja? Because I'm like, to go through all that ninja training to like pour some liquid on a string.
He could drop a grenade down.
He could have shot a blow dart. There's any number of things he could have done that would have been
he could have dropped
than
a blow
this.
Dart.
He could have dropped a blow dart.
That's not the way to get badges at ninja camp. I
feel. He could have dropped the drop dart. Also, he comes into a village of ninjas, sneaks through, and then is immediately... shot and killed by James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Mates with their women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
James Bond is so good at everything.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about Dive Team.
Dive Team?
All the wonderful Asian, the Japanese ladies that are good divers.
Oh, right.
So at this point, James Tanaka comes in, sees that they're all dead, has a good time with that. Then they decide to go to the volcano.
Yeah.
Right?
Bond and Kissy.
Bond and Kissy go to the volcano. Mm-hmm. I feel like Bond and Kissy probably fuck, even though they're on the submarine at the end.
Yeah.
I feel like they just go for it.
Yeah.
But, by the way, how many James Bond movies end with him in a raft?
We talked about this before, and I don't think we named this
one. We never even, this never occurred to us. Well, the Doctor Who art is rolling in for the Doctor Who art show. That's what happens here at Nerd Melt. Come on by. Anyway.
Free Starbucks Orange Valencia refreshers for the first me.
For the first Matt Gourley that walks in the door. So she's a great diver. They go to the volcano. He throws a rock. And it's the loudest thing on the the planet Earth. He throws a rock onto the water, and the water sounds like the world's largest gong.
It essentially is.
It essentially is the world's largest gong.
One of those telescopes.
So at this point, I don't know why they don't have a pocketbook radio with them or something like that, where they could be radioed, where Tanaka's people could be radioed.
They were kind of out there a spur of the moment, right? Spontaneously.
Yeah, but bring a radio. The man brought his fucking suction cup knees.
Yeah, but I thought it was like kind of like, because weren't they talking about like having a honeymoon or something? So I thought they were out there kind of like taking the wife out. And then it's like, oh, we happen to be vacationing-ish next to a giant fake volcano.
But yeah, he just thinks to wear his ninja suit under everything at all times.
They're honeymooning. They're honeymoon.
When you faked your own death, there's nothing that you don't do.
Wait till I honeymoon in a ninja suit under my clothes. Just wait.
I cannot wait for the pictures from your honeymoon.
So he goes into the volcano, he sends Kissy back to get Tiger and the ninjas.
Yeah, Tiger and the ninjas. But then here's what happens. He suction cups his way down like a bad Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And
or a good Spider-Man. He made it.
I don't know. Spider-Man would have been quicker. But my favorite thing happens in this entire movie is the all the cosmonauts and the astronaut just shooting the shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're just shooting the shit, talking about how long their training is.
Sleeping bags.
Yeah. Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
So how long's your training?
How many times have you been captured in a fake volcano before? This is my third.
But I love...
I never have, rookie.
But that's like... But I really do genuinely enjoy how quickly the astronauts are ready to fucking throw down. Because that's what the astronauts
are
like.
It's the same as Spy Who Loved Me and Moonraker. They go rescue whatever army has been caught and then get them to fight and use them.
But they are just like... They're gung-ho. And that's... I've met some astronauts in my day.
Oh, yeah.
And they are all old badasses.
I believe it.
I actually, Gene Cernan, who was on Apollo 17, which was the last one to land on the moon, I was watching him in a documentary where he got super bummed out about not getting to go to Korea. Not getting to go to Nam. He felt very guilty about being in the astronaut corps and going to the moon instead of going to Nam because that was his war.
Oh, jeez. That's
the kind of people we're dealing with.
Wow. So
Buzz Aldrin flew over Korea. He did. He was in the Korean War. Anyway, sorry, I got my astronauts confused.
I want to talk about Blofeld's henchman, Hans, who is more than anything a repeated type in a Bond movie. I have it written down here. So the prototype is Red Grant from Russia with Love, right?
Yeah.
Then you got Hans from You Only Live Twice, and we're talking about these Aryan supermen, 6'6" blonde guys, right?
Yeah, we're talking about big, muscular, blonde henchmen.
Dumb guys that don't talk much.
When I saw him punch him, I was like, oh yeah, he's not going to feel anything. Like, that's just kind of the thing that's been set up when a dude's that big.
Yeah.
All right, this is the time.
That carries on through to 2013 with Fast and Furious.
Jeez. So you've got Red Grant in From Russia with Love, Hans and You Only Live Twice. Who's the For Your Eyes Only guy that's the Olympic shooter? I can't remember his name.
Oh, you know the guy about? That he kicks over the fucking cliff in his Mercedes?
No, not that's the Warren Zevon looking guy.
Okay.
The guy that picks up the motorcycle and throws it at him on the snow.
Oh, yeah.
So you got that guy. Then Tomorrow Never Dies, you've got that henchman.
Yeah.
And that's five. That's five of those guys. You guys, I'm keeping tabs, doing the Lord's work.
If you can think of a blonde henchman, email us
at
jamesbondingpodcast. Something, I forget what our email address is.
I also read, and I don't know if this is true, maybe if some of you are watching it and haven't watched it yet, apparently Blofeld never blinks in this movie. But they also say that about Hannibal Lecter, and that's not true. So it may just be an urban myth about every villain. But check it out. And that one you can email.
Donald
just
Pleasance.
One of you. Just one.
So everyone get together, figure out who it's going to be, nominate your emailer.
This is not to say I don't appreciate emails. I just don't appreciate emails. No, I do.
We love emails. We just don't like being told we're wrong.
I don't mind the wrong.
As many times as we are.
It's just the choice of what to correct sometimes is more about
confusing
the writer than it is the reader.
Oh,
I love you all, though. I do. I do. I've just been going through some things. I'm pregnant. All right.
Okay, so astronauts team up. Donald Pleasance, we finally see Donald Pleasance. Mm-hmm. We also didn't discuss the first time they have a member of Spectre killed, who is appropriately the member who actually fucked up getting killed. Because Redhead dies before...
Yeah, by Piranha.
Yeah.
And he also does that to... Piranha well, he does Bridge. Another fake out later
Yeah, he
with
does
Bond.
A fake out
this
later with Bond.
This is a big thing with Blofeld. He loves to do a little twist kill. That's his thing. Yeah.
He loves to think, oh,
do you
well,
think if he
James
has kids and he's like, somebody deserves a delicious breakfast this morning. Timmy.
Timmy, you
here
did
you
such
go,
a good
Jimmy.
Job on
he's
your
just
test.
All this, about the surprise.
Jimmy, here you go.
You only eat twice, Mr. Bond.
You only eat twice, no breakfast.
I love Donald Pleasance as Blofeld. Maybe more than Telly
Savalas.
Savalas?
Come
well,
on.
Telly Savalas is like a brute.
Yeah.
Which I like too, but I feel like in my supervillain, I want kind of a more of a brainiac than a...
You want an effeminate brainiac?
Yeah. I don't know, but there's something about... Have you ever watched all of the Halloween movies?
Are you just going to tell me about how much you love Dr. Loomis?
I do, but the progression of what he starts with in the first movie to blathering idiot
in
the last, the number, I think it's number six that he's in.
Yeah.
He's even got a beard by then, and he's just nuts.
Well, you know what he's been through. You saw the rest of the movie.
I don't blame him. I've been through that, too. I've been horribly scarred by that movie. But I just love him as an actor, and I think if you're going to go cartoony with a supervillain, he does it so well. But this, he was the second choice. They already had another guy. They shot a week's worth of footage, and he had a beard, and they eventually looked at the footage and said he looked too much like a kind of like an avuncular Santa Claus, and he was too sweet, so they had to fire him.
Yeah.
And then put Donald Pleasance in.
Which I think was a good move.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Donald Pleasance is the template for Dr. Evil.
That's right.
I mean, right down to the... hollowed
cat?
Out volcano lair and the cat.
Yeah, so seeing this, how much of that was like, this is ridiculous because it's been lampooned so much that...
A lot of it. Like, it's almost... well, no, especially when...
This is the movie that Austin Powers stole from the most. Like, that's
There was a ton of things because, you know, in Austin Powers, it's the sharks with the laser beams in place of the piranha thing. Even then, the Dr. Evil character kind of teases with the piranhas a little bit.
Yeah.
like, in the way he's like, nope. So there was definitely, it was almost a thing of like, someone made fun of this better already. Nice try, real movie.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it really is. And
I don't even get the joke. They're playing this too seriously.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, it's fascinating too. And the thing that blows, I think, will blow people's minds if they haven't seen it. I don't imagine anyone listening to this hasn't seen Honor Majesty's Secret Service. But the fact that that fucking Austin Powers suit is essentially worn by James Bond and the minus the kilt situation, but that fucking fluffy blue velvet.
Are you talking about on Her Majesty's Secret Service?
Yeah, I'm talking about, for those who haven't seen it, when they watch it, they'll just be like, oh my God, Austin Powers' outfit was actually worn by James Bond.
Matt, I have to tell you something. I have to confess something, and I'll fill you in on this. The two of us were big Bond fans, but I have never like bought a watch or a Bond thing like that. But Matt does. He collects a lot of those things. And so I mentioned to Scotland for New Year's.
Yeah.
And I'm going to a formal black tie celebration.
It's absolutely appropriate to wear a kilt.
I know. Well, you know where I'm heading with this.
Oh,
right?
I hope you're not. What are you doing?
Well, listen. So my name is Scotch-Irish, Gourley.
Yeah.
But it's not associated with the tartan. So I was looking, researching, going, what kind of kilt do I need to get? And I'm renting all the sporran and the socks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so there's really no good tartan associated with my name. So I'm like, well, I'm free to get whatever I want to get. And so I started looking up on a ranch.
You're gonna buy the Bond kilt?
I haven't decided.
Kilt?
It's really traditional though.
Let
it's
me
the
tell
black
you this
watch.
Right now.
Yeah.
Brooks Brothers, their whole winter. This is going to bore the shit out of everyone listening, including our lovely guest, Vanessa.
We're talking skirts and fashion. Come on.
Brooks Brothers' entire winter line is Scotland inspired.
What?
Yeah. And they have a master kilt maker.
Can we do...
Excuse me. They have a master kilt maker.
What?
That's going to be in some of the stores taking orders for kilts.
When?
I'll have to double check my
Can
mail.
Can we do a mobile recording episode where you and I go get kilts made?
Sure.
Or who cares if we don't record?
Morning at the gym.
Yeah.
I was very excited because I looked when I was being stretched. I could see I have ankles now.
Oh, good for
I
you.
Never had ankles.
Will you check when that is pronto? Because I have to look into this soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Text me and remind me tonight.
I'll text you right now.
Because I have... Remind me later.
Hey, could you get into that?
Remind me later because I'll pull out because I have the
book. I'll see him at work.
Book.
I'll remind him.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. I'll be at Brooks Brothers today. I'll double check there.
Really?
Yeah.
Which Brooks Brothers?
Century City.
What are you going over there for?
I need some shirts.
Getting a kilt made.
I don't have too many. All my shirts are too big now, I need to get some.
When are you going
there? I don't know. Maybe later in the afternoon.
All right. Okay.
But I think the kilt guy is going to be at the Beverly Hills.
Let's find out when that is.
Yeah.
And go.
I'm going to get the information for you, and then we'll go.
Yeah.
We'll pick out a tartan.
Really get in there. That's also going to be just below freezing in Scotland on New Year's, and you're wearing a kilt.
Why are you going to Scotland?
Going with a few friends.
It's beautiful.
And then Amanda and
I
are
Paul
going to...
Is Paul dragging you?
No. Amanda and I are going to Ireland after New Year's.
Are you going to Dublin?
We are, yeah. My family is originally from Ireland, and we have an old family farm that's fallen apart.
Here's what I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
When are you going to be in Ireland? When are you going to be in Ireland?
The 2nd to the 6th, I think, January.
And when will you be in Dublin?
Most of that time.
Okay. I might fly out and meet you.
Okay.
Just for like a night or two.
We bring Kiki?
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. I don't know what her New Year's plan is, because I've been desperately trying to get to Dublin. I've been like, let's go to Dublin.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't want to go to Dublin.
Why not?
I don't know.
Kiki, if you're not listening to this, and I know you're not, I have no message, because what's the point?
I'm kind of bummed, because I feel like I was going to have you guys on my New Year's Travel Plans podcast, and now we've already burned through all of the material.
I think everyone is excited to hear about our New Year's Travel Plans.
Sure.
All right? You know, next January... Maybe next January we'll be vacationing at Goldeneye.
In Jamaica,
which is where the books are written. Anyway, but yeah, I did, because there's this... Oh, and I recommend you watch this before you go to Dublin. This is Matt and I connecting as human beings outside of James Bond. On Netflix, there is a Frank McCourt tour of
the... Am I going to cry?
No, it's all Frank McCourt touring the pubs of Ireland. Of Dublin, rather. Specifically Dublin. Watch that. And then you'll want to go to every pub he's in.
I've been to Dublin for one day, because when I went to Ireland before with my father and my grandfather, we went to the north to look for family stuff. One day in Dublin, Good Friday, every bar closed, couldn't get a drop of Guinness.
Yep. You're going to change that, buddy. Change that with you.
All right. Sorry, we've tangented, Vanessa. I apologize.
Vanessa, come to Dublin with us.
Come on.
It's going to be so much fun. Back to James Bond.
So shit goes down. He realizes no astronaut
every
would
end
get
of our podcast is goes shit goes down.
Yeah, we always take a break. Right,
that's how he knows. No astronaut, no
climbing.
Yeah.
No self-respecting astronaut would dare want to keep his air conditioning going.
Who is that astronaut?
Who's that astronaut?
You only live twice, Mr. Bond.
Why is that astronaut 75 feet taller than all the other astronauts?
He brings him down. This is
why are that astronaut's socks showing?
Wait, so I had actually, because I didn't understand it, so I looked it up. So they figured out that he wasn't an astronaut because he was carrying
his air conditioning unit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to check that.
Why did you look that up and just not ask me?
No, because I didn't think of it until later. I was like, wait, how did they? I don't know. I was tired.
Yeah, we all were.
You did do your research, though. That's nice.
That's really impressive.
There was on certain things that I didn't. I was like, I didn't understand this. Why was that?
That's what we're here for.
So,
we're here to explain the movie
to
the world. So James, he thinks no way out of this.
He's brought down. He meets Blofeld for the first time, right?
Yeah, the first time face to face.
And pretty good. The cat... He's then uses his cigarette gadget, which I like the reincorporation of this. This is the first time. Yeah, it's probably a little reverse engineered. in the writing, but it's pretty cool. It's a nice little thing to get the party
started.
Yeah,
I also think it's weird that he chose that guy.
Yeah,
I know.
To shoot.
Well. Why not Blofeld?
Why not Blofeld is exactly right. Why not Blofeld or Giant German Man?
Had Blofeld left at that point?
I think he was still there because it was a whole thing.
No, because I even turned to Vanessa and I said, why that guy?
Well, also, when you see that guy in the one shot of just him, you immediately just, you know what's going to happen and you feel sorry for him because he's like, he could just be a jobber. You know? He's probably not a true believer. I don't, it's felt bad
the
for
fishing
him.
Has dried up. I will get this new job in this volcano.
Yeah. No. I'm going to create a diversion instead of just handling this right now.
I know. For many movies to come, so much trouble could be avoided.
And all of the
that
trouble.
Guy really is like, I met this nice bald man. He seems to be good. He tells me this is for good of all mankind. I'll just wear this orange jumpsuit and do this job and go home to my wife, whom I just married, and my two kids. I'm so happy.
I'm so happy.
I don't know why I'm German, but
we have consummated the wedding.
Ooh, is there a thing too? Is it like a sort of like, okay, like karate belts? If we're gonna start you off as a yellow guy, you do a year, you can get. Some
I only have two more weeks
we'll
before I make a yellow jumpsuit.
Yeah, a red jumpsuit, and then like. The white, I don't understand. And then also I was asking about their HR department, but that was a whole other conversation.
All right, listen, you were late this morning for the third time this week.
I just told you I got a wife and
kids. I understand, but you see, everyone in a red jumpsuit is here at 8 a.m.
I get it.
You were here at 8:07.
I'm sorry.
We are very efficient.
Who are you again?
I am human resources.
Oh. I mean, have you tried parking at this volcano?
Why are you parking? They will see the cars.
I had to park in the lesser volcano one island over and then take a little junk.
Then you should have been earlier.
Okay.
You should have made enough time.
Well, can I get off with a warning?
I have given you three written warnings.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'm going to go commit.
You know what? No. Nope. Just walk across this bridge.
Oh, wait a minute. I've been in here before. Can I have a cigarette before I do that?
Those are
of course.
Toy fish.
I see no problem with that.
All right. Let me just find a guy below me that...
There's like seven jokes about how bad smoking is for you. Like, I feel like they were just discovering
nicotine
this.
Nicotine won't kill you, Mr. Bond.
But my dick will.
When the explosions start to go off.
Yes.
The cat... is freaked. Blofeld is pinning him down by his neck and skull, and the look on the cat's face is like, it's torture.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that?
I did notice that.
This is a request for the more internet savvy listeners we have. Someone please.
All of them?
Someone please out there, make a GIF of the Japanese guys in the car when it gets picked up by the helicopter. Because when they are panicking,
if that
was rolling on repeat, I would just laugh and laugh all day long.
So the cat freaks out and actually jumps up in the rafters of the set, and then they stole some shots of it up there. The shot you see of the cat in the rafters is it really freaking out because of the explosions.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
I love cats that get scared of explosions.
Oh.
All other cats suck.
So the rocket launches.
The rocket launches.
The plan is underway.
Oh, it's going to happen.
There's
it's going
to
happen.
Nothing Bond can do to stop it.
The code word is imminent.
Yeah.
The code word is imminent. America is going to attack Russia.
The ninjas arrive, but they're being shot by not machine guns emplaced within the mountains, but just machine guns resting on rocks.
Yeah.
And mortars, not unmanned mortars.
What does he call them? Turn on the...
Volcano guns?
Maybe something that's what he goes.
Yeah. I don't think it was very clever.
Yeah.
Turn on the volcano guns. then they're all getting mowed down. Kissy decided not to change.
That bothered me a lot as a lady because it's like, I'm going to go back and put something over my bathing suit but not change anything else and still wear these like shoes even though I know I'm like scaling into a volcano. And running on rock guns. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. No desire to put pants on.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed her. I was very attracted to her in a weird sort of...
The way man is attracted to a beautiful woman.
No, but like, I just sort of enjoyed that she just like didn't bother. Just like, you know what? I don't have time. I don't have time. I have to save him. Mm. She wanted to save him.
Yeah, that's true. She also wanted to save the
She was adorable. She also
world.
She also dressed... In the at the dock scene, a key I think it's a key in the dock scene. Yeah, a key is the dock scene, right? The dock scene where the helicopter one shot happens.
Yeah.
She is dressed exactly like a Silver Lake hipster.
Oh.
She's wearing skin tight jeans. She's wearing like Vans and a sweater and has perfect bangs.
The bangs is what really seals the deal for that.
Like, yeah. It was pretty good. If I don't see a picture of her on Reddit/r/hipster, I'm going to be very upset.
Oh, I'm sure you will. There's a lot of things you can say on this podcast that are like, bring me the head of Thomas Beckett. They get done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I hope that I see a GIF and a lovely picture of...
I hope the severed head of Thomas Beckett appears.
I didn't ask for that. Oh, I did. I did. So essentially what happens now is an all-out firefight.
I mixed my references. It's will no one rid me of this Thomas Beckett and bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia, which brings us back to Sam Peckinpah. I went to a Rain Man place right now. I'm sorry. Sorry.
I'm Kmart back. Underwear. Kmart underwear. Okay, so now explosions are going off. Essentially just a massive gunfight that's happening. James Bond has to get to that blast room.
Same as Spy Who Loved Me.
He sees that there's a back door.
Yeah.
So, of course, James is going to go in the back door. Because that's what James Bond does, I think. Do you think he's into that?
Yeah, the Craig one is.
Yeah.
The Craig one is into oral sex and anything. The other ones are just mafia style. I don't do that.
Yeah. He didn't. Yeah. You're exactly right.
I don't know. Maybe Dalton.
Okay.
Dalton's a freak.
Dalton's a freak.
He's a freak.
So then he goes in there. Then there's a big showdown with the German guy. He punches the German guy. The German guy doesn't move. It's just like every classic giant guy in a movie. Every time anybody punches Superman.
Yeah.
Same exact thing. So then saves the day. He tries to save the day with 007 seconds left. Do you see the look on his face when he misses the cutoff?
Like, oh, we did it in Goldfinger. We can't do it now.
But like he goes... And then he turns
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he gets bummed that he missed his 007-ish.
Did I tell you that I teach and I have a break between my classes and one of my classes is in a big lecture hall. And so for this movie, I brought the DVD.
Oh, I saw your Instagram.
Yeah, and I just put it in and had a whole movie theater to myself to finish it off. And I think I'm going to do that every week now.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
I'll see you over there.
Yeah.
I won't. I'm too busy.
No, I understand.
I want to go, though.
You should.
We should rent out movie theaters and just do this.
We should just do, yeah. We could do commentaries first and then the podcast later. Anyway, let's move.
Let's wrap through this. All right. Nope, I can't. I don't have anything. I'm not Wayne Brady.
Well, there's a villain who's waiting for his plan to meld. His name is Ernst Stavro Blofeld. That didn't make any sense. His plan to meld.
What is plan?
I apologize to you and yours this Christmas.
why are we doing so much for Christmas?
It's already been a rough Christmas.
Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Really?
Honor Majesty's Secret Service coming up is a Christmas movie.
Holy shit, maybe that's why it's on the brain.
Yeah. Okay, so we can do this. Home stretch.
James Bond stops it with 5 seconds left to go. America gets really excited. They don't have to launch on Russia.
Let's talk physics really quickly.
Yeah.
He blows up the rocket. Would that not propel the other capsule way out of orbit? Would there be any kind of equal and opposite reaction? First of all, the debris itself would tear through.
Yes.
That cap. So dead.
Yeah.
Those guys dead.
Yeah.
All right. Covered that.
It wouldn't work.
Go.
It wouldn't work out.
I don't know if it would propel it or not, but it would.
But there wouldn't be an explosion.
Right.
Per se, because there would be no fire.
It can happen quickly and immediately.
Go out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it wouldn't have looked like that.
Good. Otherwise, the science of this movie is sound.
Everything else.
Yeah.
100% accurate.
Okay.
Including the cigarette that kills everybody.
All right.
And the rocket gun.
You know what?
Bullet?
I should have just emailed that to myself because that was real nitpicky. The rocket bullets were real. Those guns were real, and they would test them out. They had planned on doing them, but they couldn't get enough velocity up close because you could put like a sheet or a piece of cardboard up to the barrel, and it wouldn't even puncture through. But the more distance it could fly, the more velocity it would get. How about that, huh?
I loved that.
Touching you.
I loved that.
Touching you.
I loved that.
Touching you.
They all have to escape. Somebody comes by, drops off a bunch of rafts. I think Daniel Craig drives by from Quantum of Solace, drops off rafts for Sean Connery.
Sure.
And we're left with the...
It's an abrupt ending. Yeah. I mean, this one...
Yeah, happens real quick.
Yeah.
Which is why we're doing the podcast, just like it.
Yeah, I guess we're done.
Okay, no, so I want to... Yeah. I have questions.
Good.
So, you know, at the end where it's like...
Floor recognizes Vanessa Ramos.
You know how it's... I don't want to say the name wrong, but
yeah,
you know who I'm talking about. At the end,
sugar tits.
No. At the end, when they're like, go up and tell Mr. Bond to report.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's M who says that to Moneypenny.
Yes. So when she, she's like, "Oh, it would be my pleasure," something like that.
Yeah.
Is it very like what's going on with those two?
With Moneypenny and Bond.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because I feel like earlier on, there's also some sort of thing where she was like, "Did you enjoy our whatever?"
Yeah.
So is it?
There is a sexual tension, only from Moneypenny.
Okay.
No,
that's how I feel.
I feel like
in the Connery era of James Bond, I feel like Moneypenny wants to fuck the shit out of Jimmy, and Jimmy don't give a fuck.
I think he likes her.
See, because it struck me as a very of like, okay, so in later films, does he just like have a press conference and she stand near him looking upset? Because it just had that dynamic.
They never consummate the relationship.
The relationship I get from them is Bond would, but he likes her and respects her too much, and she would, but she knows he'd never be with her, so they never do. It's just a flirtatious, playful thing throughout the movies. Yeah.
It's like Sam and Diane.
Yeah, without the acrimony.
Without Frasier.
Yeah, yeah. That's any other questions?
I think that was the only other one. Like this has been very educational.
Oh, we try to really reach out and get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. I feel bad that I didn't know more coming in.
Don't feel bad.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You watched the movie and reacted as such.
Yeah.
That's what we want here.
Yeah.
We want to hear James Bonding with Matt and Matt.
Vanessa, you were a fantastic guest. We were glad to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on.
It was fun.
Do we got to cover any news? Any
Bond
issues?
News? No. Let's talk about Tesla.
What?
Let's talk about Elon Musk has purchased
the Lotus
from the Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah.
And his plan is to make it into a functional Lotus and submarine.
Mm. Some people have emailed saying, please bring back the segment where what could the villain have done better? This one, I think it's pretty easily.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Kill Bond immediately.
Don't do your whole tricky killing.
Yeah.
Just point the gun at the guy you had pointed
ample
at.
Ample opportunities to kill this guy.
It does seem like there's several times where it's just like, you know what? I'm going to give this one the personal touch.
Yeah.
And like that's where it goes wrong.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, absolutely. He is remarkably successful at capturing... two rockets, which it's not even easy to put a rocket into space.
Yeah.
And he captures two capsules.
Landing it and then relaunching it.
Yeah. Landing a rocket upside down.
Yeah.
I mean, not upside down, but
like just landing it right side up.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And just sort of like little thrusters are going
to
land this.
That set.
That is enormous.
It cost as much as the first Bond movie cost. It's amazing.
I said that.
Ken Adam. I'm telling you. Ken Adam and John Barry. Without those two guys, you don't got Bond films.
The depth of that set, the size of that set, amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Reminds
me of the rooftop set of Ghostbusters. That was big.
What?
Next up is The World Is Not Enough. We don't have guests lined up.
The world is not enough. Silver bells.
Greg Proops will be here for The Man with the Golden Gun.
Soon it will be
Man with the Golden Gun. We don't have guests for...
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's not like we're struggling.
No, we've been having a good
time. We're doing great.
Yeah. Our only struggle is with our schedule, right, man?
That's our struggle.
We're both busy guys.
But you know what we're doing?
We're making it work.
We're making it happen.
Yeah. We're getting out there and we're getting it done.
Like, I could be somewhere right now.
I am somewhere here.
With you. Yeah. I'm in your heads, people.
In your earbuds. Your Dr. Dre beats. Your very tympanum. What?
All right. I liked it.
I'm in stereo. To the right. This is mono, isn't it?
I assume that she mixes it mono.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Katie, how about just a special segment where I'm on the right, then the left?
No.
And then something for the Dolby 5.1 listeners.
The Dolbies.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.1. Could you just put those in the five areas of the spectrum? No.
Point one would be. Point one is the subwoofer.
Yeah. Okay.
Just so you know, point one. You want to go low at
point
the point
two
one.
Is front right. Point three, front left. Point four, rear right. Point five, rear left. Point one is the little center dialogue thing that sits on top of your TV that you can never hear because there are too many explosions.
Okay, first of all, your setup is fucked up because 70% of the sound comes from the center channel.
It sounded like a disabled McDonald's something.
I'm loving it.
That just sounded like Bender.
Oh, well, I've hit my saturation point.
All right, well, guys, you only live twice, and beauty is you only have to watch it once.
Connery, the initial run of Connery is done. We get him two more times. Really.
Yeah, we're gonna have Pierce Brosnan next week. Week after that, George Lazenby.
Where our scheduled guest is Paul Scheer. For that, we should set that
He's
up.
He's a big fan of Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
I am as well.
It's a great movie. I would love to have seen Connery in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's never happened to the other fella.
James Bonding will return with
in
The World Is Not Enough.
Follow Vanessa at the Ramos Girl. At that Ramos Girl, right?
Yeah.
Yep. No. Follow Matt Gorley at the Gorley. Hey, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're interested, you know what? Go back and Google Gorley Ranks the Bonds and that whole series of articles there, and you can get a head start
He's
on
so
my dinner
himself.
With Robert
so
Davi
himself.
That will come out in
he
the
did have a dinner with Robert Davi.
In the License to Kill episode. Anyway, I am taking my own life today.
No. We'll just switch your part. You'll be the other girl.
Let's get you fitted for that kilt first.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Why are we afraid to say goodbye?
I don't know. I just feel like we don't want it to be over.
Yeah, it's too much fun.
Katie just got back. Let's just do it again.
You only live twice. Start.
You only live twice.
All right, we'll let you guys go. We appreciate you. Most of you have turned it off.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah,
I am apologizing personally.
Most of you have actually just given up podcasts in general.
Yeah, you know what? Good. Get some other stuff done.
Talk to you next week. Bye, lovers.
Bye. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. 8 knots.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and he crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.